Here we are with David Hawkins, our wonderful friend, who is the editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum, a news outlet focused on reversing dysfunction in American government. He's also the former senior editor of Congressional Quarterly CQ and Roll Call. Okay, so what kind of damage does it do to Biden in the eyes of the American people who didn't vote for him if Trump never concedes the race? What do you think?
Well, I don't think anybody is expecting Donald Trump at this point to give a normal concession speech. And I think the best that the Biden folks are hoping for and sort of good government advocates are hoping for, and there's a lot of money being spent to sort of reassure the country that a peaceful transfer of power can be achieved, will be if he goes gracefully and if he cooperates mechanically with the transition. I mean, as we're speaking now, there's one little sort of normally totally pro forma bureaucratic move that has to happen, which is, believe it or not, the head of the General Services Administration, which is essentially the government's internal real estate agent, has to, by law, sign a piece of paper freeing up money and resources for the transition to begin. And that Trump administration official, as of several days after the election, had not signed it. So what does it say to the people if Trump never concedes? I think it reinforces his brand in a perverse sense. But I think if his lawsuits never go anywhere, and at this point the facts that he's got at his disposal are minimal, then in the next couple of weeks, it will sort of fade to nothingness, and it will just be an angry outgoing president, versus the guy who's methodically planning to take office. Now, that having been said, there's one president at a time. He's still the president for another 70 days, and he can do some damage with executive orders and pardons. He can you know, disrupt the China cabinet of democracy somewhat, still somewhat, in the weeks he's got left.
Amazing. What kind of damage do you think he can do? Can you name a few specifics?
Well, I think he could pardon himself. That would be one pretty big piece of damage.
Pardon himself. Rudy Giuliani.
He can pardon Giuliani. He can pardon Steve Bannon. He can pardon all of his cronies. Now, we should hasten to add, you can only pardon, the president's pardon power extends to federal crimes only.
Yep.
And so once Trump is no longer president, he's still got Cy Vance and Letitia James crawling up his books there. So he can sign executive orders to start the process anyway of further deregulation. He can continue, probably the most powerful thing he can do is continue to try and get his base of supporters ginned up behind the notion that the election was stolen for him. He can still create this notion that somehow Biden is an illegitimate president.
That's right, and he will, because if we think we know where he's going, which he'll go out, he'll be his own brand of the loyal opposition. He'll be running all over the country. He might have a radio show, might have a television show. It doesn't make him any better off to concede like a gentleman here. In fact, it might hurt him a little bit, don't you think?
Well, that's a good point. Unless his investors, I mean, there's all this rumor, and I don't have any reporting on this, right, that he wants to invest in maybe OANN News or, you know, buy a TV station. Unless the investors or the Trump Organization investors, including some of his own family, Jared Kushner most notably seems to be taking this approach as we're talking now, say it's bad for the brand to be seen as a sore loser and that you want to make a clean breast of it. And then nothing's going to stop you from railing against the Biden administration, but make a clean breast of it and sort of give yourself a reset.
Let's talk about loyalty. We know that this president is big on loyalty, especially when it's people being loyal to him as opposed to the other way around. So that's Trump, of course. So let's talk about that for a second. Three people are sitting on that Supreme Court who are his. In fact, he said when he appointed Justice Barrett that he wanted her on the court if he needed her after the election. Now he needs her. It's after the election. Do you think they have the guts to basically upset their apple cart out of loyalty to Trump?
I don't. And I don't, at this point, I don't see any case out there that has the remotest chance of getting to the court. He just doesn't have the, you know, he doesn't have the facts. I mean, we're talking about, you know, arguing over whether people who die between when they vote by mail and election day, whether those votes should count. Or he's talking about, you know, four people, some sort of mistake in Michigan where four dead people did vote, or 57 ballots in Georgia. We're talking about tiny, marginal complaints in multiple states where he's losing by five-digit numbers. This is not, bears no resemblance at all to the famous Florida matter, which was 537 votes, which is like the width of one sheet of paper in a stack, you know, as tall as the ceiling in my house, versus more than 10,000 votes in four or five different states. And he just doesn't, he does not have the facts. So at this point, absent some new revelations, hard to see any case getting to the Supreme Court that would matter.
Okay, so David Hawkins, let's go to the M word, Mitch McConnell. he seems to have emerged relatively unscathed from the election, probably, unless the Georgia votes go south on him, will be the majority leader again. So what do you think the key to his success was?
Mitch McConnell's own success is, you know, he's always looking out for number one. He's, you know, but in a more subtle and way than Trump. Mitch McConnell ended up running against a somewhat weak opponent. My view is, I mean, and Kentucky's bones are Republican. He kind of cruised there to reelection. And of course, you know, he's going to have Susan Collins back. He's going to have, looks like he's going to have Tom Tillis back from North Carolina, Susan Collins from Maine. He is the master. I mean, whether you love him or hate him, the guy really knows how to play politics. He's now the longest serving Republican leader ever. I totally expect that he will be back if it is a Republican majority Senate, in part because many of your listeners have probably already heard this. He and Biden, you know, have a legendary rapport. And his colleagues in the Republican Senate will trust Mitch McConnell to cut the deals when appropriate, and to refuse to when it doesn't work for the Republicans' favor.
Okay, so let me ask you this very quickly, because we're running out of time here. I'm going to say Nancy Pelosi. Is she damaged because they lost seats?
I think so. But it does not appear, as we're talking now, as though she's fatally damaged. Nobody knows how to, I mean, Pelosi is as good as Mitch McConnell is in terms of knowing her people, knowing how to count votes on her side, knowing when she's won and when she needs to recalibrate. At this point, she seems full speed ahead.
Why'd they lose those seats? Do you know? Were there issues that really spoke to that?
You know, what do I think? I think it's at some level there. What I said when we were on the other day, which was that Trumpism was not Trump was rejected, but Trumpism was not repudiated, and there was a strong sense of the need for divided government. There were obviously several million people who crossed lines and voted Biden for president and Republican for Congress. Generally, the Republican base vote around the country was like 2 to 3 points higher in almost every district than it was last time. So there's a lot of people, presumably divided government. Maybe there's a sense of, dare I say, sexism or racism about looking at the number two person on the ticket. I don't know.
Our wonderful friend David Hawkins is editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum, a news outlet focused on reversing dysfunction in American government, also former senior editor of CQ and Roll Call. David, we love having you on the program. You always talk straight to the point, and when we come back the next time, you'll still be with us, I hope.
I absolutely will. Thanks.